deep cleansing of the Holy Spirit and what took place in the Acts of the Apostles. And I have been saying, as the Lord has said to me, that the hope of this nation is not in the election, but in the elect. Amen. It is in the elect. And the elect that are standing in their position have that opportunity in every generation to turn the world upside down, to initiate a God change. And I'm looking to people all over the body of Christ who have this understanding and want to stand in their election. Peter tells us that we must prove our election and we must make it sure. But the early church, it did not live in the remembrance of Pentecost. No. But instead, in the realization of it, something happened to those 120 people and their immediate descendants for that first generation that has never happened before or since, but is always able to happen. It is always possible to happen. In fact, the book of Acts is the book of possibilities. It's the book about all things are possible to him who believes. So they did not, as time went on, approach Pentecost with a sigh of yesterday. No, they approached it with the song of today. And everything that everybody did in the book of Acts was done in the Spirit. Amen. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" I think that's just incredible thing. Who has bewitched you? This is quite an extraordinary thing to be said. It's saying that people were changed because they were bewitched. Their minds were messed with. Their minds were messed up. They became confused. And so, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You'll have to tell your husband that I preached a lot about him this weekend, Maria, because I thought it was such a fantastic example of what happened to Bruce in the New Year's conference, that he did not go out for fellowship with all the different groups of people of where they were going, but he heard the Lord say, "Don't go." And he went with the other brother to a nothing place, kind of a dark hole, to eat nothing very joyful or wonderful taking place. And when they got in there, there was nothing, you know, there was just one other family with a couple of kids that were acting up. But somehow those kids kept looking over to Bruce and Jim. And then the little boy just kept coming towards him. And come to find out, this little boy, about 7 or 8 years old, was completely deaf. And Bruce went over and ministered to that child, and that child has perfect hearing today. Now, this is not only the hearing of faith, but I can't have any hearing of faith if I can't hear the voice of God. That's why I'll tell you that message is unbelievable, the message about guidance last week. But we receive the Holy Spirit in these dimensions. We cannot receive the Holy Spirit unless we have the hearing of faith. We are hearing, which means we are understanding what the Word of God says, when we are receiving correctly. And so Paul is telling us in Galatians that the supply of the Holy Spirit is a continuous flow of life. It's a continuous flow. And this is what happened to the people in the Acts of the Apostles. They functioned in the continuous flow. And as I have said before, there are no personal problems whatsoever mentioned, not even once, in the Acts of the Apostles. There's plenty of personal problems in the Old Testament and the Gospel, but no personal problems or personal inadequacy is ever mentioned once in the Acts of the Apostles, because their baptism into the Holy Spirit made them like the Holy Spirit, like the Savior, and they were filled. When we say filled with the Holy Spirit, we could say they were filled with the adequacy of God. They were so adequate for whatever they needed to be adequate with. So at conversion, I know that the day that I did receive the Lord Jesus Christ and was born again, that same few moments later was when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't always happen like that. It did happen like that for me. But they say through the years that in most cases, there first is a conversion. And then afterwards, there is a deeper filling of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not one who studies all those kind of statistics, but I know I did get it all at once. And so at conversion, when a person really turns their heart to the Lord and is born again, we are adopted into the home, God's home. That's what happens. And we feel, in this conversion, we feel the need for forgiveness and restoration. Then, afterwards, we feel the need for cleansing and greater power. I mean, who hasn't felt the need for greater power? But I want to share a great truth, because there is a direct correlation between cleansing and power. And if we see a lot of power and an uncleansed life, I don't think I'd be too interested in the ministry. I don't care what the power is, because I know that the Holy Spirit's power works in a cleansed life. And so, because after we are cleansed and endued with the power from on high, then we are not just adopted into the home or the house. We become adopted to the house. We adapt to the house. And there's many Christians who are in, but they have not adapted to the house and to the laws of the spirit and life in Christ Jesus that set them free from the law of sin and death. Just look around and see what is happening in the body of Christ. They have not become adapted into those areas of the kingdom of God. So, but they, once we realize that we need cleansing and greater power, we do become adopted to the house. And this brings to us what we call the fullness of the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit was just poured into them in great amount. It meant they were completely adopted to the house and became at home in the house, which is the kingdom. They became at home in the house, which is the kingdom of God, which means that they realized that everything in the kingdom of God was theirs. And when we become so filled, we have this realization also that everything is ours. Now, we read in the Bible that the promise of the Holy Spirit is to us, and it's to our children, and to as many who are afar off. Well, that many who are afar off, I mean, maybe people in other countries and other places, people who have not been exposed to the gospel. But it could also mean those who have their nerves shattered and they are conflict-ridden. The present age, and this, my friends, is so commonplace in the body of Christ. It is sad to see, but it is true, but it was not in the Acts of the Apostles. So one has to say, what was the difference? And the difference was not 2,000 years, a different time in history, an easier time to get by in life. No, it was a more difficult time to get in by in life. But they heard. You have to hear your faith. If you don't hear what the Word of God is saying, you don't have faith. I don't care what you want to call it. But you really need to hear it. I ask you this evening to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to share with you the great truths that are recorded in verses 13 and 14. So many times I repeat over and over, it is how ye have received Christ. How you have received the truths of the Word of God. And we know that so many people come from so many different backgrounds, so many different church backgrounds, that believe so many different things, that they believe it's all okay to believe whatever you want to believe. But they don't realize that there are eternal fixed truths. And once we understand those fixed truths, everything becomes fixed. Then in Jerry's song, we will not be among the six that didn't get fixed. We will be among all those who were able to get fixed because of these eternal fixed truths. Now, in verse 13, Paul says, in whom, the Lord, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now, trust. How often do we come and tell somebody, just trust the Lord, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all that you do. He will bring it to be. Trust the Lord for your healing. Trust the Lord for your guidance. Trust the Lord. Paul's telling me that unless you have heard the word of truth, you are not able to trust. And this has to do with understanding. Because a person who hears the word of God knows the word of God. They understand what it is saying. And their hearing has aligned them with the word of God. In whom you also trusted after you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You need saving from something at the moment. So many people dying of cancer and other illnesses, all sorts of things. They heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Just reach out and take it. You can have it. Those who are had the deep cleansing of the core of their being, hallelujah, they are able to hear and to trust, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I know that people believe that just because somebody said a prayer, a sinner's prayer, and was saved, that they believed that they were sealed. We've discussed this before. But as Paul is telling us, that after you believed what? Believed in the Lord? No. Believed in God? No. Believed that God could perform a miracle? No. Believed that it's the will of God for you to be healed, for you to be saved, for you to be delivered? No. What does it say? After you believed the word of truth, after you believed the whole gospel, after you believed the whole gospel, then you were sealed. What happened there? There was the cleansing away of every fear, of every doubt, of every conflict, of fear of taking the high road, fear of maybe man, as you stand on resurrection ground and they think you're crazy. I don't know. But there is a deep cleansing here. So the Holy Spirit is the only seal on our spiritual life. Let us continue to read here. Which is the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The guarantee of our inheritance. What is that telling me? It's telling me that if I am sealed, deeply cleansed from anything that is going to interfere with me hearing the word of truth and believing the gospel of my salvation, then hallelujah, I'm going to receive the guarantee. Now, I thought today as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, I mean, I might have done some canning once in my life. I mean, nobody does it except for, I think, a few people in the world maybe do canning today, or obviously big companies that produce commercially things that are purchased in cans or in jars with special lids that are sealed. Now, imagine you are doing some canning. Let's just say you were canning stewed tomatoes, and somehow you were transferring these tomatoes from one place, from the pot, into the jar. And oh, something bumped you, and they just fell, a ton of them, and just splattered on your dirty floor. That people had tracked mud and God knows what kind of bacteria or virus or germs. Now, would you just pick that up off the floor, put it in the jar, and seal it for a later time? What would you have sealed? You would have sealed germs. And at some point in time, you got that jar out. God knows what would happen to you from partaking of what was sealed in that jar. We are the vessels of God. And we don't get this total deep sealing and cleansing unless we have become clean vessels. Well, that's a wonderful example to understand. So all the people said, oh, I know where everybody who's saved is sealed. I don't think so. It's telling you after you believed, you were sealed, and you received the earnest or the guarantee, of your inheritance. Now, the inheritance, the Holy Spirit is the only seal on our spiritual life. Holy Spirit is the only seal on our spiritual life. But the guarantee of it is the guarantee of permanence. This is the guarantee. Oh, I have the earnest, I have the guarantee. What is the guarantee? People talk about, I have a guarantee. What is the guarantee? This guarantee is a guarantee of permanence. The inheritance is guaranteed by the Spirit. And so you have to have heaven in you to get to what heaven has laid up for you. You have to have heaven in you to get to what heaven has laid up for you. So, by being sealed, the guarantee can be applied. Its spiritual permanence sets in. And this is exactly what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. It was a permanent sealing. It was just absolutely set in. And that was reflected only by their true surrender. And if one has truly surrendered their life to the Holy Spirit, then he's not going to get tired. And he's not going to fall by the wayside. And this allows him not only to endure to the end, but to enjoy it. This is enjoying the long haul. I can't do that if everything is perceived as so hard, then that area needs to be cleansed. Because then it means I'm up, I'm down, I'm in, I am out. Ephesians 5:19. The person who receives the Spirit. How did you receive the Spirit, Paul said? By the work of the law? You went through 6 courses and at the end they prayed for you and you got it at the last meeting. You did all kinds of stuff. You fasted for 40 days. No. How did they receive the Holy Spirit? By the hearing of faith. It's like when I read the Bible, what is it telling me? If it's telling me something, I'm hearing something. Well, if I want to use the word tell, if you want to tell somebody something, they have to hear what you're telling them. And so, when I read the Word of God, what is it telling me? What I hear it telling me is what my hearing is all about. But then there are all these people that say, oh yes, but so many people say, so what? They can say whatever they want to say. But it may not be what the Word of God is telling them. Whole groups can embrace views, and I don't know who told them these things, but if I truly have the hearing of faith, and it's a hearing of faith because I have faith in what it tells me. If it tells me it's done, it's done. If it tells me it's mine, it's mine. If it tells me forget it and don't bring it up again, then forget it and don't bring it up again. If it tells me just go on, go forward, then just go forward. Today is one of the expressions about today. Is that it's an age of information. You don't have to have so much information. You just need to hear the gospel of your salvation, believe it, trust it, accept it, and be sealed in what it says you can have. It is a done deal. You're sealed in it.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. But we're not going to take something that's been contaminated or that hasn't been cleansed and seal it. Think about God. A person is a terrible, terrible person. They've led a terrible life. They were, you know, murderer and stealer and all of this stuff. And yeah, they wanted to get saved. But they couldn't trust the inside that they wouldn't respond again. Is this going to be sealed? We sealing serial killers and all? No. God doesn't seal what's not been cleansed. And so it can't be cleansed until first it's surrendered. So in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19, I think this is wonderful. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody's heard something right, whose life is marked by singing. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that bring a melody into your heart. This is the guarantee that this person has been sealed with the promise. The promise means it's not going to wear out, run down. So only by our surrender. We're never going to be tired, fall by the wayside. We are going to endure with joy, singing all the way to the glorious end. To the glorious end. There's not one person. They had, in the Acts of the Apostles, a lot of horrific ends, but none of them was without rejoicing. No sad endings. No one was sad about their ending. And when persecuted, they just said, "Oh Lord, give us more power to preach more." Amen. Not one prayer, "Stop it, stop it. Block it, Lord." No block it prayers. Just prayers for more boldness. So the Holy Spirit, He is a guarantor. This is what happens when we have really surrendered and we've really been baptized into Him. He does not allow areas that are uncleansed to become a part of Him. So the Holy Spirit guarantees to keep us in good repair. Not just physical repair, mental repair, emotional repair, spiritual repair. There's a lot of areas. He just guarantees continual repairing. This is wonderful. It's like buying a product that's guaranteed. Anything happens, they're going to fix it for you. Only in the world, those guarantees are partial, and they're limited to a certain amount of time. But I'm telling you that the cleansed life and the baptized life in the Holy Spirit is a permanent guarantee. This is the most important feature of that word, the earnest, or guarantee of our. So the Holy Spirit guarantees to keep us in repair. He guarantees to give us enough gas for the journey, or oil. The wise and foolish virgins were missing. He promises that. He guarantees it. He guarantees that the course He gives us to take, He guarantees that course. And He guarantees the arrival. Now, this is really important to understand the features of the guarantee. And these are the features of the guarantee. So, in the kingdom of God, nothing is incurable. Nothing is incurable in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, which is the world of God, all things are possible. Amen. And in the kingdom of God, miracles, are an everyday occurrence. There, in this kingdom that we have been baptized into and been adopted to and feel at home in and realize that everything in it is already ours, we're already partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. These are the people who have been enlightened. Amen. They have heard the word of truth. They have been able to trust it because they heard it. I cannot trust, you cannot trust in anything that you have not heard it right. That's why there's no substitute for right thinking. I don't hear it right. I don't get it right. I'm not going to have it. But there's an abundance of every good thing in the kingdom of God. And my final word this evening is that the inheritance that is guaranteed is permanent. It's permanent. And this is what we see in the Acts of the Apostles. In that generation of people who revolutionized the world, whose ideas and ideals in God are the basis of every revolution that has ever taken place, before or since, they moved into a permanency that was guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you go out to buy an item that has a guarantee, you know, usually that guarantee is a lot of pages of small print that usually people don't even read what is guaranteed. But then when something happens and they call about it, they find out whether it was under guarantee or not. But we, in the body of Christ, we deserve to know the meaning of the guarantee. And this is how we see that they were that kind of generation. They were the elect that took the day. Amen. And brought the things of the kingdom of God to the world and future generations. Every generation in God has had an opportunity. And I say, let this time, when everyone is praying and looking to the nation and looking to God for answers in the nation, I say the answer is with the elect and in our own inheritance. And no matter what awful thing does happen, I encourage everyone to look at the New Year's Eve prophecy. It was 20 minutes long. The first part is what God had to say about the world. But the second part is what God had to say to us. And I think that this is so important because it does reflect the earnest of our inheritance through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.